the panic to accelerate. Breathe. Elizabeth, just breathe, she told herself. She ran a trembling hand over her tousled hair, forcing down the strays. She wiped the mascara away with a wet finger, smoothed down her suit jacket, and cleared her throat. It was merely a momentary lapse of concentration on her part. That was all. Not to happen again. She transferred the phone to her left ear and noticed the impression of her Clada earring against her neck. Such was the pressure of her shoulder's grip on the phone against her skin. Finally, someone answered. Hello, Ballina Cría Garda Station. Hi, Marie. Elizabeth here again. Searsh has gone off with the car, again. There was a gentle sigh on the other end of the phone. How long ago, Elizabeth? Elizabeth sat down on the bottom stair and settled down for the usual line of questioning. Just 5 minutes ago. Right. Did she say where she was going? The moon, she replied matter-of-factly. Excuse me? Marie asked. You heard me. She said she was going to the moon. Apparently people will understand her there. The moon? Marie repeated. Yes, Elizabeth replied, feeling irritated. You could perhaps start looking for her on the motorway. I would imagine that if you were heading to the moon, that would be the quickest way to get there, wouldn't you? Although, I'm not entirely sure which exit she would take. Either way, I'd check the motor. Relax, Elizabeth. You know I have to ask. I know. Elizabeth tried to calm herself again. She was missing an important meeting right now. Her nephew Luke's fill-in babysitter had fled. Elizabeth could hardly blame the girl. Her nephew's mother, Elizabeth's younger sister Saoirse, was unmanageable, and the frantic young babysitter had called Elizabeth in a panic. Elizabeth had to drop everything and come home. Luke's nanny, Edith, had left for the 3 months of travelling she had threatened Elizabeth with for the past 6 years. She was, however, surprised that Edith, apart from the current trip to Australia, had been turning up to work every day. 6 years she had been helping Elizabeth to raise Luke. 6 years of drama, and still, after all her years of loyalty, Elizabeth expected a phone call or her letter of resignation practically every day. Being Luke's nanny came with a lot of baggage. Then again, so did being Luke's adoptive parent. Elizabeth, are you still there? Yes. She was losing concentration. Sorry, what did you say? I asked you what car she took. Elizabeth rolled her eyes. The same one, Marie. The same bloody car as last week, and the week before, and the week before that. Marie remained firm. Which is the BMW, she interrupted. The same damn 330 black BMW cabriolet. What condition was she in? Very shiny, I just washed her, Elizabeth replied cheekily. Great. And what condition was Saoirse in? The usual one. Intoxicated. That's the one. Elizabeth stood up and walked down the hall to the kitchen. Her sun trap. Her heels against the marble floor echoed loudly in the empty, high-ceilinged room. Everything was in its place. The room was hot from the sun's glare through the glass of the conservatory. Elizabeth's tired eyes squinted in the brightness. The spotless kitchen gleamed. The black granite countertops sparkled. The chrome fittings mirrored the bright day. A stainless steel and walnut heaven. She headed straight to the espresso machine, her savior, needing an injection of life into her exhausted body. She opened the kitchen cabinet and took out a small beige coffee cup. Before closing the press, she turned a cup round so that the handle was on the right side, like all the others. She slid open the long steel cutlery drawer, noticed a knife in the fork compartment, put it back in its rightful place, retrieved a spoon, and slid it shut. From the corner of her eye, she saw the hand towel messily strewn over the handle of the cooker. She threw the crumpled cloth into the utility room, retrieved a fresh towel from the neat pile in the press, folded it exactly in half, and draped it over the cooker handle.